a major league team in a major league city. The new crew.
This is to us. This is to Columbus. This is what this is all about. Unity, Columbus, history, the future, the new era, the new crew. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. Let's get weird. And it's all because you guys like to drink beer.
Live from Awesome Town, Ohio, you are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of news and information for your Awesome Town crew.
And a very happy Memorial Day to you and yours. This is the Massive Report. Welcome to it, post-Chicago match edition. My name is Matt Goshard. We are brought to you this week, as we are every single week, by the Land-Grant Brewing Company and by the Peacock Casuals. Joining me this week, once again, Sam Fahmy hitting the buttons. So glad that you're here, Sam, because Molly was afraid you wouldn't be. And then she would have to do some work, and she would be upset about that. Justin Bell is here, Alex Stanek, Greg Benson, Morgan Hughes, all with us at the show this evening. And the very first thing that we have to talk about is that Willie forgot to turn down the overhead PA, and nobody noticed it until we started recording.
I was just throwing my arms up there going, what in the hell is this?
Yeah, no, I noticed.
You guys aren't going to let me listen to the Indians game?
You're not really missing a thing. Honestly, I think Major League Baseball has some sort of rule about retransmitting, rebroadcasting, or otherwise depicting something along those
Sam
lines.
Sam and I were talking about this off the air. And
wait,
Sam's
where's our lawyer? Our resident lawyer is here.
Sam and I were talking about this off the air before the show started. And basically, anybody who live tweets, attends the game, gets on social media during it, whatever, that's an account, recap, recollection of the game, whatever, that...
Dissemination.
As far as I know, dissemination.
Yes.
That, as far as I know, doesn't have the express written consent of the Cleveland Indians, Cincinnati Reds, Houston Astros, Major League Baseball, whoever you happen to follow.
That was actually my project that I did my senior year of high school. I have the express written consent of every team. I really, that's a true story. So anyway, the crew don't lose. But you'd think that the Fire fans thought they won on Saturday night, Friday night. That's how long ago it was at this point. I'm forgetting what day it was. The crew don't get the result that we were hoping for after coming out to an early lead and looking very promising. 2-2 draw, and we're going to go to you, Morgan. Your thoughts on Saturday's match, or Friday's match. God, seriously.
My God.
Friday's match.
You all right?
No, and I'm not even close to drunk.
Do you have the express written consent of the officer or the commissioner of baseball to get drunk?
I do.
Oh, all right. You're doing all right.
But it was Bud Selig, not the new guy.
Yeah, no, Matt, great point there. You know, feeling great. Yeah, really excited to be here with you on this Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, Monday night. That could have hit me in my eye.
It could have.
Yeah. Dominating first half. You know, kind of pushing him around and... not so dominating second half. Chicago seemed to kind of figure out that they were playing a real game, you know, put their lines in motion and actually possess the ball a little bit. And, you know, we played about 93 minutes and 57 seconds of soccer. Then we started soccering poorly, Matt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Back to you.
Alex.
It wasn't a great game. I thought even the first half we lacked the intensity and the kind of I guess intensity would be the only word for it, that we see from teams that come here. You know, when we play in Crew Stadium, the crew come out and they really go at the other team immediately. They put them under a tremendous amount of pressure, and for whatever reason, they seemed more complacent in this game. I thought Chris Clutie had a very good game. I thought Kamara was fantastic. He's putting this team on his back in a lot of ways. But overall, it was not a good game at all. And it's worrying.
Greg?
This was a game where Columbus, I think, kind of mailed it in for a lot longer than it looked like they were. the first half. The first half, they were decent. Chicago were worse. And I think that was the only... I think it made the Crew look a lot better by comparison. They were only as good as they had to be for a lot of that game. And what I think most people kind of forget is the first Chicago goal was the result of kind of a fluke. It was a little bit of a deflection that, you know, Steve Clarke can't do much about, and guys in the right place at the right time. And all of a sudden, for the rest of the game, the Crew are on their heels. And that last goal, regardless of who scored it, who assisted it, who anything, I'm sure we'll open that up and talk about it in detail. Regardless of any of that, there was a sense of inevitability about it. Like, we were playing not to lose. And you have to be a really, really good team to play like that and still come away with 3 points. And I don't think the Crew is at that level.
That first goal was entirely because of the deflection. If that ball gets through that he played, Pogatetz doesn't just clear it, he controls it.
Right.
And he probably dribbles about 30 yards upfield by himself. And I just watched the game about an hour ago in its entirety, and I swear that second that Gehrig's ball was slightly deflected as well, off of Waylon Francis's butt. So, at least one deflection that Pogatetz would have just completely controlled. The second one, I swear, came off of his butt.
Welcome to the Sunshine Brigade, Morgan.
Yeah, there was some buttage there, Alex. There was You're some absolutely buttage. Right.
Sunshine. Total buttage, Morgan says. Puppies. Justin, what say you?
Somehow Howler podcast has taken over my phone. I have no idea. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was weird.
They said brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company. Is that what I heard?
I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
Is it not working because it's an Apple?
No, it's working.
It's a phone. It's not an
Apple.
That's
the thing. It's working very, very well.
I'm sorry, guys.
Really, Alex? Really?
I'm sorry, I'll leave the jokes to you. I'm sorry.
I don't think.
Please do.
Oh. There it is.
Nice.
Saddest thing
well
ever.
Done. I was waiting for that. I thought the team actually didn't play terribly, and until the second half, and even then, I just think that they were doing what they could do. Look, I said last week, Chicago's not a bad team.
No.
Everyone wants to think Chicago's a bad team because it makes us feel good, and they're not. They have a lot of heart, and they completely bossed the last 20 minutes of the game, and the Crew were trying hard to keep up. I thought when Ethan Finley went down, that was a big moment. I think Kai Kamara scoring 2 goals, I think he has 9 of our 17 this year. Yeah. That's an enormous amount for one player, and so... I mean, basically, we're waiting for anyone else to step up and score a goal. Now, that doesn't mean that the other teams, the other players on the team, are playing bad. I thought Justin Merrin played very well. I thought Ethan Finley played pretty well up until he got hurt. And then when Kamara got kicked, I think he was tackled hard, and he went down with a slight knock. And we pulled him off. For Schoenfeld, and at that point the team had basically zero attack. Mm-hmm.
Well, there was that chance that Merrim royally screwed up in extra time.
That was interesting.
He missed Spies, and it was one-on-one with the keeper. John Bush is old and stupid. Yeah. He was not stopping that.
Yeah, that was a tricky thing to do. I mean, it's kind of like half a dozen of one, you know, six of the other, however that saying goes. I mean,
it doesn't go like that.
Yeah, it's something different. Yeah. Like that. Like what? But anyway, you know, Merrim probably should have taken the ball to the corner in hindsight.
If
the opportunity presents itself to get the third goal, then I guess you go for it. I thought he'd kind of looked like he was maybe trying to chip the goalkeeper from like way, way out.
Whatever he was trying to do, it was not either take it to the corner or make a high percentage pass. Right. Off, you know, off of his good foot or off of his, you know, bad foot.
He was going for the spectacular.
Right. And mind you, this is moments after he got a completely just absurd yellow card for smashing the ball about 15 sections deep into the seats.
Which I didn't, you know, okay, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, that was a yellow card, right? But at the time, I'm thinking that's not such a bad play. I mean, there are times when you can let your emotions get the best of you and you hurt your team. there are also times like when you're in stoppage time and you need to waste a few seconds, and it's not so bad to kick the ball 15 rows into the stands, because you know theoretically the referee's not gonna keep track of that.
Hesmer was notorious for time wasting in extra time, and you know it's part of the game. It happens, and the ref the majority of the time, yeah, like you said, is not gonna have his hand on his watch.
But yeah, he didn't have a terrific last 5 minutes.
No, but he had a very good rest of the game. He made the pass he made to Finley to set up the first goal was on point. It was just perfect.
I kind of liked watching some of the commentary on Twitter from people who supposedly know what they're doing, and you know, you would see at certain points during the games, like, you know, Justin Merriam's awesome, Ethan Finley's awesome, and then you get to the end of the game, and they're like, this is why we don't like the crew. This is why the crew aren't going to, well, okay, fine. You know, have your cake, eat it too. Six of one, half dozen of the other.
That's how you make a living writing for half of these.
Right.
You know, and so especially writing for MLS.
Basically, what it gets to is my point where I'm saying, damn, I think sports writers, particularly sports writers who aren't very creative or good, like narratives.
Yeah.
And they search out narratives everywhere. Everything's got to be a narrative. Everything's got to have a story or a backstory or something like that, because it's very easy and it makes you sound profound. And this team is defying all narratives. This league, this season, is defying all narratives. And so in lieu of just being able to say it, look, no one knows what the hell's going on. Instead of admitting that, they got to come up with these stories.
That's such bad journalism, Justin.
Well, it's true. I'm
kidding.
Yeah, it's not what these people who will tell you how the season's going to go will tell you, because at that point they're like, "Wow, I don't know what I'm talking about," and now everyone knows I don't know what I'm talking about. Look, the team, like I said, Chicago's good. They're better than what we thought. Crew, pretty much what we thought. They're finding their level.
Yeah.
And we're in the middle of the pack. And right now, the middle of the pack is just above the Mendoza line for playoffs.
Mendoza! Yeah.
Jesus.
That was awesome.
I hope that's on. I hope that audio picked it up.
It did.
I think the thing that was concerning for me was the team seemed to lack the mental strength to see out the game. You could feel it in the stadium. I remember there were a couple people in the second row of HSH who started doing you came a long way just to lose.
Oh, God.
Oh my God. Why would you do that?
And everyone turned to the three people who were doing it and started screaming, shut up, shut up, shut up. Because we all, you could feel this tension in the stadium, it's gonna happen.
And they shut up.
And when Garrick sent that ball in, and the ball was in the back, then everybody just kind of turned.
Everybody yelled at you, Morgan.
Everybody just kind of shrugged their shoulders, that was gonna happen.
Yeah.
And that's not something that I think the season have been used to seeing with this team. Usually, in the end of the game, you're pretty confident. But I mean, I had flashbacks to couple years ago when it was the Brian Blisser, the Varzia era, where you were kind of.
Where we would have gotten three scored on us in stoppage time.
You didn't feel safe.
No,
and for the most part with Berhalter teams, you are pretty confident that okay, we got this. You know, we're up a goal. Mm-hmm. They've brought on an extra midfielder. We're going to see this thing out. The players didn't seem right, and to me that's a little bit concerning. I hope it's just a one off thing. If they bounce back next week, that's great. But despite the fact that it was a draw, this game concerns me a little bit more than some of the losses that we've had.
And that's why I mentioned it. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, so right now, at this point, the team sits directly at 500, 4-4-3. And they're in 12th place in the league, if you look at it as a single table. It's difficult to do that because of the fact that there's not a balanced schedule. But at the same time, we'll compare apples to oranges. We'll compare schedule to schedule because that's the only thing we've got to look at.
Well, let's say the playoffs start today. It's we host a one-off at home against Toronto FC.
Yeah.
And then we, you know, depending on what would happen with what would be New York and Orlando, we would then either go have a home-and-home with DC or New England. Is that not where we thought we would be?
Yeah.
Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass.
I knew someone would bring up the the Bears are who we thought they were thing.
But they are who we thought
they
were.
They are who we thought they were. Yeah.
I can't see you right now, Greg.
It's because I'm behind this giant screen.
Yeah. No one gets in to see the wizard.
Because as the sun goes down over there and what? Wait, are we facing? No, the sun's behind us.
Yeah,
it's
no,
the
sun is not in Washington.
I'm sorry,
Beach
everything's
right now.
Everything's upside down because I'm Australian. There we go.
One of the things that
stop being xenophobic, Greg.
One of the Univision. Well, the announcer on Univision. By the way,
oh my god,
spectacular job by those.
One of the worst calls I've ever heard in my life.
It was incredible.
It was the worst.
Can we get audio on that, Sam? Because I've not heard this.
I
so,
can't,
did you see the thing I just put on Instagram?
How incredible!
Where he tried to say Jürgen Klinsmann.
A, I don't have Instagram.
Oh, it was awesome.
B, I don't know what you're
That's
talking about.
That's because your girlfriend just put a naked picture of you as a child on Instagram. That's probably why you don't want to see it.
Well, the color commentator, we should have known something was up because the color commentator on the broadcast was Paul Caligiuri, who has a very interesting history with the Columbus Crew. I'd highly recommend people looking that up. It goes back to the good old days. But one of the things that they talked about was the fact that the Crew, there was a moment in the game where they said that the Crew are the kind of team that presses for that third goal. And watching it, the replay, and in hindsight, I'm like, wow. Yes, that is the sort of sense that we have of this team is that they're always going to press for that third goal. They're not going to sit on two. They're not going to sit on a 2-1 lead. And they just, I think that in their mind, the players felt like, yes, that's the team that we are. We press for that third goal, but they just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that Chicago was faster to the 50-50 balls. They were faster to the ball, and they were crisp with their passes. They were smart with the way that they did things. I don't know.
When I rewatch a game, I took everybody's name and I put the letter I, which is Roman numeral for one, next to their name when they did something poo poo.
You're talking Crew players?
Crew players. And the guys who came out as most craptastic were...
it's a new bit on the program, apparently.
Most craptastic featuring... to me, and Alex, this is, again, why I think that you know nothing about anything which you speak. You're very poorly informed. Chris Cloutier was, like, the worst person on the field by a factor of infinity. I give him zero Stanek points, and may God have mercy on his soul. But, at the risk of becoming the acting president of the Sunshine Brigade, I don't know how upset I am about this game because guys like, Kevon George and Chris Cloutier were just mucking up everything.
Well, look at that last
goal. And that affects everything.
That last goal you were talking about, like, it was kind of a fortunate deflection. It was a great pass, great look by Gehrig. And he did something that
off of a butt,
possibly, but like still, he put the ball into a dangerous spot, and
off
that's
of a
great.
Butt.
But that ball should have
been off of a butt.
Well, Kevon George is in a spot to play the ball, or play the man who's going to play the ball. Michael Parkhurst is in a spot to go get that ball.
If he contends for that ball at midfield or wherever that, him and Pogatetz were, shortly before the goal, we're probably not talking about
it. Yeah, there's
a
couple of players who could have taken that like they say about defense, at the very end, it's all heart.
Yeah.
And so either one of those players could have made a difference.
Have we heard what's up with Finley, by the way?
He looked like he had some sort of knee injury.
Todd Fichtenberg is here. I feel like you would know.
What happened?
On like a soul level, you're connected to him.
Like...
Jardy sent a tweet of him leaving the stadium with crutches. I know that. But
Cirque said it was a very paparazzi photo. I was talking to Steve Cirque yesterday, and he said, "Boy, it's quite
what the hell does that mean, Steve? It's a picture of him leaving.
It's pretty paparazzi.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh, I'm staking him out.
Whatever.
No, but
it's a picture.
Yeah, like the paparazzi do.
Oh,
yeah, that's
Cirque.
What paparazzi do actually.
But no, it was a good picture, I guess. For a paparazzi.
Red cat is Steve Sick.
But when he was hit, I kind of felt that. I thought, man, he got kicked. And even if you get kicked in this, like a shin guard, that's going to hurt.
And even before that, in the 69th, Iguanenuke, however you say that, absolutely tore him down, Finley down.
Yeah, there were some hard fouls.
The foul was called on Finley for being, I guess, attacked. And then Gwanenuke went after Kamara.
Yeah.
Just a little consistency.
One of the things that they said, too, I saw, maybe it was Matt, MLS analyst Matt, I can't think of his name right now. Matt Doyle had tweeted about the fact that there's sort of a, this might be true, might not be, I don't know, but they said that there's sort of a sense in the league that you can fluster the crew. I think New England Revolution did that last year. The crew stood up to them, though. I think Tony Chani in particular stood up to that team. I don't necessarily know if it's true that you can. I think the crew does let some things get into their heads. We saw that happen to Higuain earlier this year.
Yeah,
we saw that happen with a player, with some of our players who haven't been on the field lately, including Grana, who's no longer with us. But I don't know. I think a player like Pogatetz is a veteran.
And great game from Pogatetz.
Yeah, fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Great.
How many tick marks did he have?
Zero tick marks.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Most craptacular. He wasn't even in the running, Matt.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. All right.
You know who, though? Like, can I say this? And I've said this a few times. Kristen Steinerson. Boy, I tell you. I think he has the possibility of being a good player. I think. I haven't seen it.
I think he looks
I still
decent,
haven't seen
though.
It.
Given his opportunity. You know what he doesn't do very well? He does not move according to the players around him very well. He's a guy that
he seems a little out.
Yeah, if he doesn't have the ball, off of a clearance or, off of the first initial pass building of the offense, he's going to struggle because there was a moment where I think Chani missed him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was anticipating receiving the ball. And Chani didn't give it to him, and he kind of dribbled towards him, and it was like Steinerson's feet were in cement. If that's happening, and you're on the flank, you've got to start making a run, because that's what Chani, is made to do.
And if
other than smash dudes.
If Finley is out, then Steinerson's going to be the guy.
Yeah, he's going to save it up.
We also have Ben Spies, who I think could play there, and you could see Roman Gall there as well.
That's what I was going to ask. Is like, why? What? Roman Gall was on the bench.
He was warming up there for a second.
He was warming up, and then they decided not to go with him. I think that's a little bit of a shame. I think he should be getting some minutes.
I'd have put him in instead of Schoenfeld.
Doesn't he usually
take Kamara out?
That's an interesting.
Why not?
That is an interesting.
I half expected to see him.
I think the only reason you don't do that is because at that point Chicago was going for ankles and shins.
That's a good point.
I think another reason, and this was something that was kind of concerning, when they brought on Schoenfeld, my first thought was, okay, we're setting up to defend set pieces at this point. Mm-hmm. We are going to have Schoenfeld on there for corner kicks and for crosses in, and this is Bobby ball, basically, is what we saw.
But if you're doing that, why sub three offensive players? We didn't use a defender.
Schoenfeld's the biggest guy.
I get what you're saying, but we had unused defenders on there, never substituting one of them in.
Well, I think that they took out Kamara just because he had a knock.
Health precaution.
I think that's true.
Schoenfeld, for me, seemed like he was a hold-up man. And you would hold up the ball, and then you would pass it to a winger, and then, I don't know. It was a weird game.
Yeah. Makes sense. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about this in a few minutes and then get on to a bit more of the topics. We got another match on Wednesday, guys. And what's today?
Monday.
Saturday afternoon.
Friday.
Fair enough.
It's football Friday night.
It's football Friday night here on TED TV. We'll be back. It's the Massive Report. This edition of the Massive Report podcast is brought to you, as always, by Land Grant Brewing Company.
Greetings and salutations to all the listeners out there from www.ironlionfirm.myshopify.com/winthe-parking-lot/inventing-car-magnets.html. Are you tired of traveling hours away from your home in the sweltering swamp wasteland of southern Florida? Winning the stands week after week, game after game, venturing all over the Eastern Conference just to find a medium-sized glass container filled to the brim with delicious intoxicating alcohol? It can certainly be exhausting. Well, if you're an Orlando City supporter, you can go to hell, because you're absolutely terrible human beings. Crew SC fans, however, rejoice, because Lamb Grant Brewing Company is located right around the corner in Franklinton, Ohio. Why, that's way closer than such arbitrarily selected global locations like Indiana, India, or Indonesia. Hooray! So grab all those embarrassing internet trolls from the Nordeca Facebook group and throw back a couple cold ones while you stroke your neckbeards at Lamb Grant Brewing Company. And tell them your friends over at the Master Report Podcast sent you.
With the Massive Reports, it is brought to you by Lamb Grant Brewing Company and wherever Justin got that tasty smelling sandwich from.
Wings Over.
Wings Over.
They need to be a sponsor of like foods.
If you know anybody who works for Wings Over, just bring us some food.
I've never had Cajun.
That's all we want.
You don't have to ask me twice.
Make sure you take the big one, Greg. Wait, yeah, well,
I took the one that was on the top. It just happened to be the big one. They put a big one on the top, and you offered it to me first.
That's why you're from a prison colony, Greg.
Yes. These are incredible.
I'm a thief. What do you expect of me? Goodness me.
This is incredible.
Here, there's like sauce or something.
Oh, this is
right. Oh, Justin, you got to have one.
Alex, you want some of the chicken, by the way, as well?
I'm good, Matt. This.
Oh, this is.
Totally.
This is riveting.
Hey, one thing that I did want to talk about real quick. Friend
is
of
the sauce
show.
Ketchup?
Is the sauce ketchup?
I think the sauce is ketchup.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's ketchup.
Yeah, it's just absolutely ketchup.
Sorry.
Friend of the show, Gino Padula, Sporting Padula Academy, doing tryouts this week. All the info at spsocceracademy.com. The tryouts tomorrow start for the U7 to U12, and then next week U13 to U18 group. Also, they have a new location in Hilliard, which I've been told is west of the city. Mm-hmm. I've never been outside the Beltway, so I'm not 100% sure. But, you know, that's good. That's good for them. But yeah,
bring your crappy kids and let them try out.
Yes.
Is that what they say?
If you've made the horrible life choice to have children, you should teach them how to play soccer, and Gino's the best at doing that.
There you go.
See?
He is.
That's all
the best.
That's all I got. So we're 11 games into the season so far. We are right at 500.
Which is impossible because it's an odd number.
Yeah. It's not impossible.
Because I have three ties.
Yeah.
Or draws.
Yeah, three draws.
To be more correct.
4-4-3.
Excuse me.
Should be written 4-3-4, really, if we're being purists.
I'm never a purist about anything except for...
But not being a purist.
Not being a purist. Yeah, exactly. Morgan, your thoughts on the season so far?
I'm kind of the same place we were last year. Or last week, Matt. You ignorant slut. I think we're going to have our chances to kind of pile up some points here soon. Chicago was one of them. San Jose, not so much. But you know, they're in fourth place in the West. What? Mm-hmm. It is what it is. We're going to have a chance to pile up some points here.
Well, we play the Orlando Solar Bears on Saturday.
Solar Bears. We got Philadelphia 70 Phillies coming up. And, yeah. You know,
Phantoms.
The schedule works well for us in the summer, which is when we play our best soccer historically, and it is when all the crowds come. And, you know, we had, what, 5 sellouts last year? It was all in the second half of the season. We're going to have a chance. And I would really, really like for Will Trapp to get right with the Lord. And I would like, you know, maybe Chris Cloutier to never be a thing again outside of the U.S. Open Cup. But, you know, they are who we thought they were. So if you want to crown them, crown them there, ass Matt. Back to you.
Burger time. You got some thoughts?
Burger time!
It's a vegetarian joke.
Yes, it is. God. It is. Yeah.
I think we're okay. I'll give Justin a minute. Hey.
Justin took a second to process that.
Justin, are we good?
We're fine.
Okay. I think we're doing okay. I think one thing that is going to impact us is the CBA. A lot of teams, other than the Crew, kind of planned for the salary cap to be much higher than it was. And so we're one of the few teams that I think will be able to make changes if we need to in the summer transfer window.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that'll be an advantage. If Trapp is not healthy, we can find somebody who can fill in for him for however long he's out for.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's starting to recover. I guess he's in light training now. But if that's a continuing problem, we have the ability to go out and get somebody, especially now that we have that Grana cap room.
Yeah.
Overall, I think we've played pretty well. We've had some hiccups on the road, but I think, as we talked about last week, I think that'll turn around when we have this easier stretch coming up on the road.
Yeah.
Overall, I think we'll be fine.
Greg, didgeridoo yourself a favor and give me your thoughts.
Nice.
That was
nice
bad. Segment. I'm just that trying was, too hard
that
now.
Was, yeah. That was so bad it was almost good. I think the Crew have taken care of business against the teams that, for the most part, they should be taking care of things against. I mean, they've won all but two of their home games and unbeaten in all but one, you know, against the Red Bulls, who have turned out to be, you know, pretty decent.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's game against Philly notwithstanding. But they've beaten up on the teams that are below them. You know, they've beaten Orlando, they've beaten Philly, they've done what they had to do for the most part. They got to get their road travel sorted out and figure out how to play away from home, because you can only hope for, if you win every home game and lose every home game, the best you can hope for is exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, as a result, we're looking at a team that is playing fairly well at home for the most part and playing fairly poorly on the road for the most part, and it's kind of evened out.
Mm-hmm.
And what did we say last year we were missing more than anything? Obviously, a forward that, mm-hmm, can, that can put the ball in the back of the net. Who led the team in goals in 2008, which it was a very decent season for us? Alejandro Moreno.
Yeah, Moreno.
He had 9 goals. Mm-hmm. Kai Kamara has 9 goals. We have played, what, 11 games?
11 games, yeah.
It's worth mentioning, you know?
That's true. But
remember when Domodoro hit, what, 12, and we were like, that was the most since Edson Buttle in 2004 or something? You know, there's a lot to be okay with right now. Sunshine.
And Cedric is coming, so I mean, we have to keep that in mind as well. He's going to be another option that we can throw in there, and he will score goals.
Alex asked me before the show to not sing while he was talking because it makes him scared, and we know he has a urination problem. And
he does,
I will say
all
that
the time.
Yeah. No, I will not.
Because he doesn't eat meat.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it's the meat sweats.
It's the meat sweats. Justin, your thoughts on 11 games in so far?
I'll be honest. I'm disappointed. I think we should be better than this. I think I think we had to win this game. This is a game that needed to be won. The last game was a game that needed to be won. I think the game against San Jose was something that we kind of let go. But again, I mean, that's a result that just sort of is typical for us over the years. I still don't like the way we played against New York. I don't like the way we played against. I'm sorry. I don't like the results against New York and the results against DC United and the results against Chicago. I think we've played probably about as good as we can against those teams and came up short. I think the overall direction of the crew is good. It's positive. I think Anthony Precourt is still steering us in the right direction. And Greg Berhalter is steering us in the right direction. They're doing the right things. Although, again, this is the season when the results do matter. And they have to matter in week 11 and week 10, just like they matter in week 24 and week 28.
It would be one thing if the teams ahead of us didn't play at places where we don't play well.
Like, true.
I have no interest in seeing New England in the playoffs in general, but specifically if it's a home-and-home and we have to go there second.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... Well...
Look, the teams that...
No, we didn't play well against them here either.
Right. The teams, in general, yeah.
The teams that we're in direct competition with are New York, New England, and D.C. They're the three... They're started the season out the best in the East. I also... Again, I think Chicago and Toronto are good teams. And then Philadelphia, as bad as they are, beat New York at Red Bull Arena yesterday 2-0.
And they were good value for that win yesterday, too. Yeah. I don't know if you watched that game, but they played pretty much dominated the game in several phases.
They did.
And they were going into that game, you know, the folks on the Seeing Red podcast were saying that they were basically saying New York needs to win this game 3-0. Considering how Philadelphia's form was, New York's form was, again, we just don't know what's going to happen. Now, like, I look back at last season, and the crew went 16 weeks with one win.
Yep.
And
which was a TIFO sweat game.
Exactly. It was against Chicago.
Yep.
And the end result we all know is that we finished third in the East and did well to make the playoffs. But now, you know, again, it's time to capitalize on that. It's time to move forward. And I'm not sure we are showing that we've done that yet.
We're in a much more positive position than we were last year at this time,
True.
I think. True. I mean, my concern is that you look at some of those matches and you've got road wins in there. You've got, you know, the team actually playing kind of a bit more consistently in certain areas, and that's where the biggest concern is. I think, and we'll get to this a little bit more, but Saturday's going to be a huge test.
Yeah.
Saturday is going to be probably the biggest test we've had so far this season, and it's not because Orlando's good. It's because we're so poor on the road right now.
Good thing Orlando plays like crap at home.
Yeah.
With the, you know, exception of the game here, they play their best ball on the road.
Yeah.
One of the things I think... It's kind of a spillover from the first segment, too. You know, there are some games that mean more than just the results. And from the reaction that we had after the game against Chicago, that's a derby game.
Yeah,
now,
it is.
God, Justin.
I mean, as far as, like, if you want to compare it to some other thing, that
derby.
Some other league where, you know, like Arsenal versus Liverpool, where, like, people always say, boy, this is an important game. Now, it's not a rivalry, quote unquote, but it's something that those fans and those teams always look forward to.
And specifically because there's so many people in Chicago that love the crew.
True.
Yeah, that's huge.
But you measure yourself against certain teams, and one of those teams that we measure ourselves against is Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking to Gino Padula this weekend, and one of the things he asked was about the game. We were talking about the game, and he said, you know, in 2009, it's like we always tied Chicago 2-2.
Yep.
And he went through some of those results, and he said, but there was one we didn't, and that was 2008 Eastern Conference game final when it mattered.
Yep.
So, I mean, if we measure ourselves against Chicago, then, you know, a game in the middle of May, I suppose, doesn't matter as much as a game later in the season.
Or in November.
Yeah, or November. But it does matter because you're fighting against the Chicago Fire, and you're the Bridgeview Fire, and you're fighting against what they mean in your conference.
Yeah.
And you measure yourself against them. And, you know, I think Chicago looked at that like a rivalry game.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that probably has to do with Eric Gehrig. And part of that has to do with Brian Bliss and John Bush and those guys who played for the crew, have ties to the crew. Well, we don't have...
I am excited, by the way, for your flight down to the Magic Kingdom next week, and Magic Kingdom for Crew SC being a trending hashtag, by the way.
What?
No, I'm sorry. Space Mountain is closed for repairs.
Well, going back to what Justin said about Gehrig, I know after the game he said that he came into this game with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
I think he was hoping at the end of last season that going into this season, Berhalter and his staff would view him as a starter and that he would kind of have a spot in this team. And Berhalter obviously preferred Pogatetz and preferred Parkhurst, and Gehrig was kind of let go, for lack of a better word. I mean, he was left exposed, and I think they kind of, I get the feeling they knew he was going to go. And I mean, that is what it is.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that they did come here to win, and I mean, that game felt like a loss. I mean, that kind of sums it, a lot of this up for me. Like, I left that stadium, and I was not remotely happy with the point. That was a gut punch. That last goal was a gut punch.
You look at the reaction of the Columbus fans at the end of the game versus the reaction of the Chicago fans at the end of the game, and they were partying like as if they just won, you know, like as if that goal was to break a tie rather than to salvage one. And I mentioned this on Twitter, but Justin, the look that you and I had after the game, like I... We were both standing up in the back of the Nordeca, and I turned around as soon as the final whistle went, and Justin has his arms folded, and he's just sort of like, yep, that kind of look, like we expected this based on the way that they were playing, and it did. It was a sucker punch.
Well, the other thing too, like about that, it wasn't just the fans that felt that way. Kai Kamara sat on the bench for a long time after the game was over.
Yeah.
Because he had put his, like, he had played a fantastic game, put in two goals. That's a game that they need to win.
Yep.
Kai Kamara gives you two goals, and you've got to win that. You got to figure out a way to do it, and he knew it. And Ethan Finley knew it.
And Johnny was in a heap on the ground for at least 45 seconds afterwards.
The players
as well
knew it. And I think, like, you know, I said at the beginning, it was like, I feel a little disappointed with the season right now. I feel we're disappointed with the results. I am not disappointed with the heart that the team, with, I think, the seriousness that the team is taking this season.
I agree.
And, like, moments like that, when you see Chani and Kamara and Finley and Merrim and Steve Clark and all these guys, every single player on the field, taking these results to heart, saying, like, I know we need to do better. I like that. I like that after the game last week where they were saying, we need to forget this game and move on. Yeah. So, like, now we have an opportunity. Like, you know, I was talking about narratives earlier in the podcast. This could be a moment where maybe the Chicago Fire, this is the thing that launches them forward. It might also be the thing where the crew are like, you know what, the hell with this. We're tired of this crap, and it's time to play better soccer.
Makes sense. We're going to take a break. We'll come back, kind of expand on that a little bit. The crew play Valencia this week, as well as Orlando on Saturday. So a lot of stuff to talk about on that. Also, potential transfers coming up soon. We've got so much stuff to talk about. And we got Greg coming up in a second as well. This is the Massive Report.
Episodes in, and I still haven't been fired or fired upon. I must be doing something right. It's time again for Cards Against Insanity, sponsored this week by letting your ex-wife come back to your house for the sole purpose of kicking your dog, which is pretty much what Friday's game felt like. Opinions are mine and don't necessarily reflect those of the Massive Report or Columbus Crew SC, and I'll start this week with a follow-up from last. Yellow card to the Tennessee Titans. You'll remember last week I talked about the uncovering of deals carried out by 14 NFL teams and numerous other sports leagues, clubs, and franchises, where pregame salutes to the troops were actually just paid stunts bought by the Defense Department, i.e. you, the taxpayer. If you haven't listened to last week's episode, you probably should. But last week, after that episode went live, it was reported that the Titans, who are not one of the 14 teams who took Defense Department money in this scheme, actually went one worse. They have a 16-year streak of sellouts at home games, and according to News Channel 5 in Nashville, they kept that streak alive by giving unsold tickets to a scalper, sorry, broker, named Cole Rubin, and wrote those tickets off on the team books as donations to the military. The Titans claim that they were falsely designated as military donations due to clerical errors, and they have nothing but respect for the military, and yada, yada, yada. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. Ugh. Yellow card to World Soccer Shop. The online mega retailer put out this gem on Twitter on Thursday night. Quote, "Celebrate Liverpool legend Steven Gerrard with the commemorative 15-16 home soccer jersey." End quote. Think about that for a second. That's right, Liverpool fans. Celebrate your favorite player by purchasing the very first jersey that he won't be wearing. Did anyone notice prior to Sunday's match against Stoke City that all of the Liverpool players went out for warm-ups wearing jerseys with Gerrard's number 8 on the back? Maybe they were hoping the LA Galaxy would sign all of them. Yellow card to the Pittsburgh Pirates. On Friday, they posted a promotional photo to Instagram with the caption, quote, "Today from 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., stop by the Wexford Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru for free Bucks ticks and a sexual Pirates donut." End quote. Which appears to be a yellow iced donut sprinkled with sexual chocolate. Sexual chocolate! That boy's good. Anyway, let's just take this back a second. This was posted by the Pirates' official Instagram account, no doubt by a social media representative, who apparently uses the word sexual so much on his phone or tablet that whatever he misspelled special as, that's what it auto-corrected to. It took me a month to teach curse words to my phone's autocorrect. How long have you been at this? Now I'm wondering how many people took this literally and actually stopped by the Wexford Dunkin' Donuts drive-thru with their junk out, going, sexual donut? Yeah, just put it there. Sticking with baseball, yellow cards to the St. Louis Cardinals and a pair of their fans. Look, can we finally agree that St. Louis is the most awful place in America? And if they got an MLS team, I would loathe them more than the Sounders, the Fire, and Orlando combined. Anyway, the Cards get the card, because they somehow allowed their mascot, Fred Bird, to be duped by a couple of fans into holding up a sign saying Police Lives Matter. It was originally reported that this occurred at a police event and that the mascot held the sign willingly, but the team went into damage control and claimed that the mascot had no idea what the sign said when these badge-licking racists handed it to him, which I guess seems plausible because his eyes are clearly just stuck on. Which means that the team isn't subversively political, they're just careless and stupid, and they have awful fans. I'm sorry, Cardinals fans, a couple of you are my friends, and I like you as people, but on the whole, your fan base sucks. And speaking of people who suck, yellow card to the Manchester woman who was caught on camera snatching a jersey thrown by a player to a group of kids during Sunday's League One playoff final at Wembley. Preston North End striker Jermaine Beckford, who scored a hat-trick in the 4-0 win over Swindon Town, was subbed off late in the game and tossed his jersey to a group of young Preston fans, at which point a woman began squabbling with the kids to take the jersey from them, which she eventually did. And it looked like a good deed at first because her daughter was sitting right next to her. Nope, she posted it for sale online that night for $2,300. The site where she listed it, Gumtree, has since removed the listing, although I'm not sure if it was due to a buyer coming forward or due to public pressure. Or maybe it's because a koala came out of the Gumtree and ate her face. I hope it was that. And finally, red card to everyone who lost their minds over NBC's Premier League Championship Sunday. As you probably know and maybe cared about unless you're Morgan Hughes or Crystal Macchia, the Premier League season came to a close on Sunday and all 10 games were played simultaneously and in the US broadcast simultaneously across several NBC Universal networks, including MSNBC, Sci-Fi, E!, Bravo, and a few others you haven't heard of and probably aren't watching on Sunday morning because it's nothing but garbage reruns. But apparently some people really like garbage reruns because Twitter melted down, and here are a couple of my favorites. At Gay Alex, that's not a slur against the guy across the table, that's actually this guy's Twitter name, tweeted, quote, "Bravo TV is seriously airing a soccer game right now. That's worst," he actually wrote worst than airing How to Lose a Guy for the 978th time, end quote. From at ShayDiva88, quote, "Soccer messing up my Sunday marathons at Bravo TV," end quote. Oh no, I'm missing Southern Charm and the Shahs of Sunset because Arsenal v. West Brom is on. There was more. From at JackieBabeSS, quote, "Soccer just hijacked Bravo and E, literally the only stations I watch. The apocalypse is upon us," end quote. From at ShelbyKiefer73, quote, "Why the F is soccer on Bravo and the Sci-Fi Network right now? Hello, are there not about 25 sports channels for that? Help me, Jesus," end quote. You know, if I looked at my life and realized I was up at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning just to watch Bravo E! And the Sci-Fi Network, I probably would go find Jesus. MSNBC, which showed Man City v. Southampton, also got complaints from people who had their 24-hour news stream interrupted. From Marge Beckwith, quote, "At MSNBC, no soccer? News! Hashtag why MSNBC ratings down," end quote. Look, I'm as liberal as they come, and I've got a serious lesbian boner for Rachel Maddow, but if you're actually starving for news from NBC and only MSNBC to the point that you will complain if they take 2 hours off for a soccer game, you're as bad as the Fox crowd. But the greatest ones? The sci-fi fans. From at Barry Reese Pulp. I prefer my Barry Reese Pulp free, but that's a personal decision. Quote, at Sci-Fi TV, why the heck is EPL football on the Sci-Fi channel this morning? End quote. From an account I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Quote, why exactly, NBC, are you airing sports on at Sci-Fi TV? There are people that just don't care for sports. Just an FYI for the obtuse execs. End quote. And my favorite, from at Heinous Clown, quote, there is soccer on... I know, aren't these great? From at Heinous Clown, quote, there is soccer on at Sci-Fi right now, a complete bullet time backflip over the shark, end quote. NATO. You mean Sharknado, right? That example of quality you can expect from the Sci-Fi original programming team. This same channel shows WWE SmackDown every Thursday. That might be fiction, but it's not exactly sci-fi. The network canceled shows like Battlestar Galactica and Stargate Universe in favor of Sinbad. That's the sailor, not the comedian. They even changed the spelling of their station name because they acknowledged that they weren't science fiction oriented anymore. I understand that sometimes you are surprised to learn that what you expect to be on your TV isn't actually on your TV. But to act like it's the coming apocalypse, get a grip. Besides, it could be a lot worse. A slot just opened up on TLC. Imagine people's surprise if they tuned in and found soccer in that time slot. Although, if you called it 19 clubs and counting, they'd barely notice the difference. My name is Greg Benson. You can find me on Twitter as Gregulator614. I had to end on an upper this week. And if you're at Hendock's Pub, you're in my seat. A reminder once again to use the hashtag MRCards if you've got something I should be including on next week's show. Until then, play on, but remember, I'm watching you.
My absolute favorite was a few years ago when Fox did that, and Speed Vision had a soccer game on at 10 o'clock in the morning. Those were the best meltdowns ever. Why isn't the IndyCar practice on the TV right now?
It was the year Man City, I think.
Yeah, it was the year Man City won.
It was like on goal differential with Man United and yeah. Somebody else.
Yeah, no, it was goal differential with Man United. Man United won, and then Man City won in extra time. But
Aguero.
Yeah, but that was just those tweets to Speed Vision that year just nourished me for an entire year. That's what happened. Transfer window's opening up, and Alex, you've got a few things to say, and then I think everybody else does as well. But I'm gonna turn it right over to you because I don't know where you're going with this. I think you're in the non-meat rage stage right now, so I'm just gonna let you have this. Go ahead, buddy.
I just think we should sign somebody in the summer of substantial wage value and get a second DP. I mean, we've heard for a long time from the team that they're willing to get a second DP, but they're waiting to find the right person. But, I mean, if you're finding Hernan Grana and Cedric Mabwati and guys like this, you have to have a scouting network that's capable of finding a really, really talented player somewhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's time that we get somebody. I mean, I've half jokingly mentioned Miroslav Klose in the past here and on Twitter. I still think he would be an interesting option. You could tie in the whole German heritage thing with the fact that he's the German World Cup champion who's got more World Cup goals than any player in history. You know, more than Pelé, more than Maradona, more than Messi. I think he would be an option. I think there are lots of other options, but right now, as things stand, Crew are third from the bottom in terms of their wage bill in MLS. There are only two teams who spend less than we do. Colorado Rapids and DC United are the only two teams. We're sitting at $4.2 million spent.
DC has seriously been moneyballing it this year. Then,
yeah,
they're good on them.
They're really, yeah. I mean, so the Crew's budget is $4.2 million. Toronto FC's budget is $20.5 million. LA Galaxy are at $15.4 million. Even Orlando City, it's their first year. They're at $13.5 million.
To be fair, with Toronto FC, it costs a lot to buy all those black T-shirts.
It does. It does. Yeah. But, I mean, even you know, even the Crafts are spending $7.3 million a season. It's almost twice what the Crew are spending. You know,
what's FC Dallas spending?
Dallas is at $4.8 million. You know, okay. They're at $600,000 above what we're spending.
Is this all based on last year?
No, this is this year's number, according to ESPN. This was a couple weeks ago this came out. But...
No further questions.
Back to you, Alex.
But I think we should get a big name. I don't think we've had a big name really here before. And when you look at Crew attendance numbers, they're getting better, but they're not where I think everybody wants them to be. But then when you look at what the top markets for the EPL over the 2014-2015 season, the number one city was DC, the number two city was New York, and the number three city in the country for watching Premier League soccer over the course of the entire season was Columbus, Ohio. And yeah. So there is an interest in the sport in the city, and I think a player that people know of, somebody that people could say, oh, I've heard of that guy, I want to go see him play. I think that would get people to the stadium, and then once they're in the stadium watching the team, if we play well, they'll say, hey, this is really fun, I want to come back, and you create new fans. I think we need to do it.
There's two things about that. Yes, that's a great stat that we can hang our hats on as a city, and there are obviously many, many cities in the Eastern time zone that are much smaller than Columbus. However, you know, the expectation of, oh, well, Los Angeles should have better ratings than Columbus when it comes to EPL games at 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern time is just doesn't make any sense.
Sure. But
they're on at 7 o'clock in the morning there, which is completely different. Asking somebody to wake up at 7 in the morning versus 10 in the morning are two completely different things.
Sure, but we're beating Philadelphia.
We are.
We're beating
yes.
Miami. We're mm-hmm. beating Boston. We're beating all these major
We're beating
cities.
Every city in the Eastern time zone except for two that are rated on television. I understand yes. that.
And I think that, so you have a large soccer fan base that is not being fully tapped into. I think a player like a Closa, like even Del Piero is living in L.A. and he's begging somebody to come and sign him. He wants to have a final go at things so he can retire without having to be this free agent who's going club to club looking for a job the last 2 years. If you got him on a six-month deal, you could pay him peanuts and he would come and, you know, be here. People would go to see him play. He won the World Cup. He played for Juventus for years and was this incredibly, you know, well-respected player.
This is not a rhetorical question. I'm actually asking you this. Do you think we want to build our fan base with people that don't care about the Crew but only care about names from other countries? Is that how, you know, is that how you personally
That's
would
how
think?
The Hunts marketed us for years.
The thing about that is that if any fan that is going to turn up because you get this player is going to leave just as fast when this player is no longer there.
I disagree, and I'm a good example of this. For years, I was a casual fan. I would watch the games on TV. I wouldn't go. I was an AC Milan fan, and I would watch AC Milan on TV, and I would watch the Crew on TV, and I would see the product on the field from the Crew, and it wasn't good enough to get me to the stadium. I ended up going because my brother basically dragged me there. I had a great time, and now I haven't missed a match in years. Mm-hmm. And so I think if you expose people to it and if you can get them to give it a shot, I think there are a lot of soccer fans in this town who have never really given the Crew a fair shake. They've never shown up for a couple games and said, okay, let's see how this goes. I think if you had a big name player, you would get them there, and then you have the other guys on the team, they would be the guys who would keep them around. So it would be, hey, Steve Clark's pretty good goalkeeper. Hey, Emmanuel Pogatetz is a really good defender. This is not that much different than watching the Premier League. I really like this. I think I'm going to get season tickets.
But isn't that kind of what happened with promoting, you know, Thierry Henry, David Beckham, that sort of stuff forever and ever? Did that work?
Well, would you look at the you know, Blackout the Galaxy attendance, you know, those big games that they did promote with the big name players had higher attendances than when we were playing these other teams.
For one,
but if
for
you
one
had,
game, yeah.
I know, but if the player's on your team, that player's there every week. And so you have a incentive every week for that fan to come out and see the team play.
But the game with Thierry Henry didn't sell out. The game with David Beckham did. And I don't think signing David Beckham anytime soon.
And I don't think Miroslav Klose is going to cause Crew Stadium to be sold out every week. But I think it would be a step in the right direction, and it would also be somebody that would help the team on the field. I mean, Kamara right now has 9 goals in 11 games. If he keeps that up all year, you know, he's going to win the golden boot for the league. He's going to be, you know, top goal scorer, no question about it. And he's going to be the most valuable player in the league, probably. Yeah. But, you know, odds are he's going to slump at some point, or we're going to have a couple weeks where somebody else is going to have to step up and score. He can't score 2 goals a week every week.
Shut your whore mouth, Alex. Yes, he can.
Maybe he can. But,
wow.
But I think it would help to have somebody. And it doesn't even have to be a striker. I mean, there are midfielders and other players. I mean, Mike Hahn is a right back. We just lost a right back. He's a big name, you know, Brazilian World Cup star. He's going to leave Roma at the end of the season. And he's mentioned MLS as one of his possible destinations. I think Justin would like Mike Hahn. I don't know, as an Inter fan.
For one of our Italy nerds to our other Italy nerd, yeah. Justin, no, that, your thoughts?
That would be cool, but I don't think that's how you build a team.
I don't think it's how you build a team either.
Yeah, I think the way that the crew needs to have a good team that is going to be good for a few years and show that we're doing the right thing, and that's the way we capture those people. The model that they've stated that they're going for is the Sporting Kansas City model, and they've never signed a big name player, and they've played pretty well. And what they did was they developed World Cup talent, players that like Klinsmann couldn't. He had to take them, and they played significant roles with the U.S. men's World Cup team last season, and so that draws attention that way too.
Yeah,
I think so far they're doing that right. I mean, Will Trapp is this is one of the things we've talked about, like how important Will Trapp is to this team, not just as a player but as a personality and as a character on the team. His value is kind of immeasurable because he means a lot more than just how the team plays. And I think, like, when you think about the players that they went and they got, like, Michael Parkhurst is not a marketable player. But he's a solid player.
Is there a marketable player out there for the Columbus, Ohio market?
Yes. Kai Kamara is about it. And Will Trapp.
And I mean that in a way that, like, people are going to come to games way more than they would if we signed that player.
No.
Clint Dempsey.
And is that player, yeah, Matt,
no,
exactly.
I'm just saying, you asked, are there players like that?
And,
yes, there
and
are.
And because of the single entity structure of Major League Soccer,
we're not going to get those players.
Exactly.
No, right.
But I think
players like that do exist.
Talk like this just reminds me of John Rooney to New York Red Bulls. You know, it's like a stinky-ass signing because of a name recognition, and my God, the people didn't come out. You know, and let's not forget to say that our attendance numbers are
up,
and they've been up every year since 2011, and I would argue that sustainable growth from a sales perspective is best case scenario.
Well, let's look at that. I think that's an important thing to talk about, is that MLS often says that they have sellouts, but we know by looking at the stands that there's not always a whole hell of a lot of people in the stands, and you know there's a difference there, right? It's good to have to sell all those tickets, obviously it's good because you have money and revenue coming in, but what you don't have is eyes, and you don't have people who are basically becoming advocates and people who are out there sort of proselytizing for the soccer team and saying you need to get out to Crew Stadium because I'm there all the time. The way that I think you do that is by building a really good team. You're right, Morgan. I don't think there are players who are going to capture the imagination of the Columbus Crew of this city and say, I've got to go to Crew Stadium because I've got to watch like Steven Gerrard play. Honestly, I think if Steven Gerrard, if Don Garber and all of MLS sort of, the people who run MLS sort of had like this complete meltdown and decided, hey, let's put Steven Gerrard in Columbus, Ohio, I don't think it would make much difference. I think people would be like, oh, hey,
no.
Guy from Liverpool, he's over here now.
No, those guys are named like Eddie George Troy Smith.
Yeah.
You know, those are the guys that people in Columbus be like, whoa, I've got to get to Crew Stadium to watch Troy Smith. He won a Heisman.
But, like, I think
that guy's
there, are
tear
players,
it up.
There are players.
Wait, who's,
who are,
who's the kicker for the Buckeyes right now?
Oh, fat kicker.
Can we can we sign Fat Kicker?
But there are players who I think are good and are notable, but who would also kind of add something to this team. And two that stick out to my mind right now are Jonathan Bordstein, who plays in Mexico. He's 30 years old and plays defender, and we needed we need a defender.
Yep.
We need somebody who can play wing back, and he might be able to someone who could do that. I don't know what his contract situation is right now, but and the other player who I always go back to as somebody who I think needs to come back to MLS, but I don't know if he ever will, and that's Hercules Gomez. I'd like to see a player like him play for the Columbus Crew. I think his rights are still technically owned by Sporting Kansas City.
They can't hold on to him now. Yeah, they would
have they compensated when he left?
He doesn't want to go there. That's another big thing.
I don't know if he wants to come to MLS at all.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, who do? But if he did, maybe Columbus would probably be a pretty good place for him.
Yeah.
And, you know, that would be a second forward who could pair up pretty well with Kai Kamara.
Can you imagine the TIFOs? If Hercules Gomez comes to,
that would be great.
Columbus.
Hercules!
I think.
I think Justin can imagine them. Yes.
Yeah, those are the two biggest names that I can think of. I do want to touch on one thing that you said earlier, Justin. I thought this was interesting. The Seattle Sounders this week have stated that they're going to be opening the full stadium.
Oh, that's great.
For ticket sales.
What a bunch of crap.
How the hell... The friend of the show, we talked to her actually in the parking lot a couple of weeks ago. Ramona Peel, who's a Seattle Sounders blogger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was talking about... Excuse me. Seattle Seahawks blogger. Yeah. Pardon me.
Way better.
She is a Crew fan.
And a great writer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And a Seattle Seahawks blogger. I apologize for that. But was talking about how BS it was that the Sounders continue to call it a sellout when they don't offer all the tickets available in the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should just offer like 14,000.
Yeah, no, yeah. Seriously.
Then we have a sellout.
Tarping off the upper decks of Crew Stadium.
You know what?
And now every game is a sellout.
You know what that's like, Matt? It's like putting a bunch of stuff in the back seat of your car and then refusing to give somebody a ride because your car's full.
It's nothing like
that. Sorry about that today, Greg.
Yeah,
jeez.
I know. That's exactly. No.
Wow.
That's a good idea.
God. That's how I get out of giving Greg Ryan's places.
I really want to hammer home the point of sustainable growth from a sales perspective, because that's very important for an organization, be it a soccer team or a widget company
that sells Wheelie Bops.
Yeah, a Wheelie Bop company. When you go from 2,000 people at a game, I don't know, say like the last time Seattle played outside of MLS, to 60,000 people in a stadium. That, to me, and I know very little about business, so don't take my word for it, but that is called unsustainable growth. Because the Crew, listen, if the Crew don't make the playoffs, people are going to be pissed, but people are going to come back.
Sure.
If Seattle doesn't make the playoffs, which MLS would never allow to happen, singularity.
That's why we have six.
Right.
You know.
Because they can't do that because of unsustainable growth.
Mm-hmm.
They literally cannot allow teams like Seattle and LA, to not make the playoffs, to not contend for the cup.
It's weird how much they hate Toronto.
But it's it's a thin veneer of what a soccer culture is. It's not real. I don't know. It's frustrating to watch as a soccer fan in this city, in this country, because on one hand you have a league that has more visibility than it's ever had, ever. But it's so precarious, and it's because these are not parts of the community.
They're franchises.
They're popped in there and said, this is what soccer is going to be in Seattle. This is what soccer is going to be in Columbus. This is what soccer is going to be in Chicago and New York and Boston. And guess what? They're all completely interchangeable.
And I don't think they can put that kind of label on us. And it's important to also note that this is a market that is different than any other market in the league.
Well, they could, but I think Anthony Precourt and Greg Berhalter are trying to establish an identity
to do something
for
else.
The Columbus Crew,
and part of that is we have to do something else.
Part of that is building the team, like what you're
saying. This is a market that's been with Crew soccer for 20 years. You know, this They've been to Ohio Stadium. They've been to Crew Stadium. They've been to Monterey Stadium. This is not a three-year-old thing.
And the first, this
where
is
you
the
can
first,
dictate what the culture is.
Do you remember when we were walking in the stadium the last year, very beginning of the year, we were setting up something, and we saw on the side of the stadium it says, you know, this is our team, our crew, our club, whatever.
This is our crew. And it said, this is our fortress.
Yeah, and then it said first team in MLS, and that's everywhere now.
Yep.
And you never saw that for years because, like I said, for all these years, MLS, it was so crucially important that all these teams be interchangeable, that you could pick the Columbus Crew up and throw them in Las Vegas at the drop of a hat just to make money, and no one would blink an eye except a handful of the slice of the core fan base in Columbus, Ohio. That's what this league is. I can't, yeah. You know, I know people hate hearing this,
you
but
could throw
it's the absolute truth. And the Columbus Crew, you know, when they try to do things, like what they tried to do with the drop it twice thing earlier in the year, and MLS smacked it down. It's a reason. The reason why they don't like that is because with the Crew, it suddenly has a little bit of pride, and he's like, we're going to be Columbus. This is essentially who we are.
Yep.
And it's what they're hammering home. And you know what? MLS doesn't really, that makes them a little nervous. Like, yep. We were told when they were designing the badge that they, God bless those people who designed the badge for the Columbus Crew. I said this back then when they did it, and I would say it again today. They said to the people in MLS, no, you're not designing this in New York. We're going to do it here in Columbus. And MLS wanted to design it in New York City.
Of course they did.
And they still throw these things out there, like advertisements and stuff, that we're gonna show you how to advertise in Columbus. Well, screw you. That's what they're saying. Thank God they are.
And this is a market that needs to grow by 2,000 people a season.
Yes.
And this is just my opinion. I could be totally wrong. We can't bring in a John Rooney. It's not what Columbus is. We have to grow sustainably.
But I see what they're doing it to in New York City.
They're
doing it with New York City FC, and they're doing it with LAFC. It happens all over the place. Columbus is different.
Here's what I think. I mean, like I said earlier, I think there are a lot of people. My brother and I, after the Crew game, for example, on Friday, we went to White Castle afterwards. We go after every game, and it was like 11:30 at night.
What do you eat there?
I get the vegetarian sliders, which are fantastic.
Of course you do.
Sweet Thai sauce, they're good.
Wow. Fair enough. I'm going to have to try this. I've never had that.
They're pretty
before.
Good. Friend of the show, Ryan Gear, is also a big fan. But we were there, and we had our Crew stuff on because we had just come straight from the stadium, and the guy behind us in line was like, oh, did you guys just come from that soccer game? And we were like, yeah, we did. And he was like, oh, I like soccer. I've never been to a Crew game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, why? And he's like, well, I used to live in Cincinnati, and then when I got here, I just have never got around to it. And he's the kind of guy that we need to get in the stadium. I think if you had a Miroslav Klose, for example, you could make an ad of him in German Village, and you could intersperse it with shots of him scoring goals in the World Cup, and you could play that during EPL games and stuff like that, run it in the local market, and you would get these people who, you know, maybe they came out here during the hunt times when things maybe weren't so fun and were a little bit grim at times and not enjoyable, but haven't been exposed to the Berhalter era. Come out, see them play. They'll come out for the big star, but that's not the reason they're going to stay. It's not like if Klose leaves, they're gonna go away. They're going to be like me. They're going to fall in love with the team, fall in love with, you know, everything about Columbus Crew SC, and they're going to stay. And
but like
I think
Matt
we need
said,
to, we
they
need
would
to,
have come out for the other ones, though. They would have come out for the Beckhams and the Dempseys and the Obafemis and the, you know, whatever.
But we're not advertising those guys on TV and stuff. I mean,
oh, God, yeah,
hell,
we
aren't.
Dude, every LA game was come out and watch the away team.
You know,
oh,
in the last 2 years?
No, in the last 5 years.
But on social media and stuff like that. I don't remember seeing them on the
Tony,
on television.
Tony's here.
I just want to say one thing.
Oh, my God.
They do bring out, like you say, the Crew did advertise the Beckhams, Dempseys, the Outdoors. Yeah, they do come out, but the problem is, guess what? When those players get to those teams, they're already fans of those teams and they're not going to come to other Crew games. We need a star here to make that casual turn into a Crew fan 1 or 2 years later.
That was terrifying.
Yeah,
everyone
that was
just
terrifying.
Agreed with
what
him.
We need is just a better marketing plan.
But who would that be, Tony?
who would that be?
Miroslav
Klose.
Oh, dear God. All right, this segment's gone on way too long, guys.
Sign Klose. Sign
him. Speaking of stars coming here, we have a Champions League team that's going to be coming very, very soon, and we're going to talk about them, plus the Orlando game in the next segment. This is the Massive Report. Valencia's on the way. Talk about that in just a second. This is the Massive Report. It is brought to you by Land Grant Brewing Company, the Pico Casuals, and Morgan Hughes Wheelie Bops. Welcome to the show for our final segment here. But before we get to that, the crew play Valencia on Wednesday. And I just want to go real quick around the table. It's a friendly, not a huge impact on anything, but you know, I want to get everybody's thoughts. Joining us for the final segment, Justin had to go back to work because he is a relentless workaholic, and we all love him. Morgan, I'm going to start with you. Your thoughts on the Crew Valencia game.
Are you seriously asking my impression of a team that is not an MLS team?
I'm seriously asking you what you think is going to happen on Wednesday.
Well, I hope that Roman Gall plays. I hope Chad Barson plays. I hope Tyson Wall plays. I hope Brad Stuver plays. I hope Matt Lampson starts at forward. I hope everybody that could possibly play at Orlando is in some sort of climate-controlled box with their ankles chained to a radiator. That's what I hope happens.
All right, Alex.
It should be fun. Valencia are a cool team, and it's nice to not have to play an EPL team this year. It's nice.
Or a relegated team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I mean. We would always get whoever was going down in England, that's who we were playing. It's nice to see these leagues. I hope they keep doing that, and they bring in a Serie A team or a Bundesliga team, or a Liga MX team would be cool. I think this game will be fun. I hope, like Morgan said, I hope we rest everybody who's really crucial to our season, and we play, you know, our backups and our third string guys and stuff like that, and just, you know, have entertain
people. Let them get
people.
Some game experience. Yeah.
It's for entertainment.
Greg.
Well, it's a friendly game, and it's a friendly game against a team the likes of which, as Alex was saying, we haven't seen in a while. Valencia are a quality opponent, and yeah. I expect them to, if the Crew do play their reserve squad or B squad or whatever, I expect them to kind of have their way with them. This is, if you actually have anything invested in the result, this ain't going to be pretty. But, yeah. I look forward to it. I'm glad they're here. It'll be good to see the guys get some game time and game experience. I think the starters do start. Probably get subbed off at halftime, but we'll see.
Tony.
Hi there.
Hi there, Tony.
I'm actually really looking forward to it. It's just fun to see another international team here, and never got to see a Spanish team before, so I'm just looking to have a good time.
All right. So, yeah, for me, it's a mid-season friendly. I really don't care if we're playing the Europe starting 11. You know, it's, to me, I just can't care. because it's not important. And at this point in the season, and it's unfortunate that we have to play all these games at this point in the season. It would be great if we were going over there in January and we got to see the crew kind of test their mettle against even, you know, Valencia's B squad at that point, or whomever that we ended up playing that year. But it doesn't mean anything.
I mean, it's a chance for Valencia to play finally on the big stage.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's true.
You know, from their perspective, this is probably a really big deal.
And they get to see Easton Town Center.
Easton Town Center. They are a store man of Legos.
Hey, I'll take a few guys from Valencia starting 11.
Yeah, it'd be nice to throw them in Austin and see what they could become.
Yeah, exactly.
They have 50,000 season ticket holders, by the way, and 25,000 on the waiting list.
50,000 season ticket holders.
Yep.
I do want to, by the way, you were talking about Austin for a second. Our thoughts do go out to everybody in Austin.
My thoughts are going out to them right now, man.
They are.
Hope it makes a difference.
Apparently the Aztecs, stadium is underwater right now. Huge storms in Austin, so we hope.
Is it really?
Yeah, there was some big.
I take back my smarmy comment from earlier. Yeah.
we mentioned it before the show.
I was not listening.
Yeah, we were off the air, but. Our thoughts to everyone in Austin, and hope everyone's safe down there.
Yeah, it looked like there was a lot of water in the stadium, like feet of water.
Yeah, so. They may have to dry out for a while there. But going back to what we were talking about, Valencia, we're going to do a round of fun predictions here. We're not going to do a score prediction because nobody cares. We're going to do an attendance prediction, and we're going to start with you, Tony.
I think 10,000.
All right, Greg.
9,245.
Alex.
13,000.
Morgan.
13,001, Bob.
Damn.
I'm going to say 13,002, and I'm going to the showcase showdown.
$1.
$1. Oh!
No, I think this is a big enough team recognizably that, if that's a word, that it's going to be like a normal MLS game at this time of year.
Yeah.
Hopefully Nordak is sold out. Hopefully we win the stands. Because we're going to lose the game real bad.
Can I make a prediction? That's not
ahead,
a score prediction.
Yeah, yeah.
I think Gall and Spies are both going to score.
Okay. Fair enough.
All we are saying is give Spies a chance.
Next game we have to talk about. Crew travel down to the sweaty, sweaty hellhole that is the Magic Kingdom. Orlando. We're going to be there on Saturday. Ugh.
God. Speaking of chaining your employees to things, Disney World.
I'm going to start with Tony. Your thoughts on what's going to happen in this Crew Orlando match?
I predict that the Crew's going to win. They're going to win 3-1.
No, not score predictions, you jackass. Get off the show. You're fired. No, continue. Go ahead.
No, I do predict that the Crew are going to win. But they're going to sadly lose the stands.
No, goddamn.
And I will get 5 death threats in my inbox by Monday.
Which are all in response to death threats that you've sent people.
No, I have not once threatened the Orlando fans.
Oh, God.
What about Seattle?
Seattle, yes, I have threatened.
In all seriousness, they're going to be missing Breck Shea, who picked up a red card for douchebaggery in their last game.
Yes,
and they don't play well at home.
Yeah, but they do have best DP in history of MLS.
Shut up, Alex!
Oh, my God.
Sorry. Shut up!
Wait, he plays for Orlando?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's fun to just take a moment and remember that Kaká plays for Orlando, Florida.
Yeah,
Kaká.
It's pretty weird.
It's insanity.
It is.
It's insane. This
is
an insane thing, Matt. Back to you.
All right, Greg, your thoughts.
I want to jam a Q-tip in my ear every single time Alex fellates Kaká on the Massive Report.
That's why I do it, Greg.
And by a Q-tip, I mean a Phillips head screwdriver.
it's all for you, Greg.
Morgan actually brought up a halfway decent point in that.
Wow, you know, thank you.
In that one of, not Orlando's best player, obviously, you know, I wouldn't want to besmirch the glorious name of Kaká. But it's worth...
Kaká!
But it's worth mentioning that Breck Shea... Breck Shea has been one of their best performers all season. He's been one of the highlights in a pretty ordinary team. They did smack LA around a couple of weeks ago. That's worth pointing out as well.
But Breck Shea won't be there Saturday.
But right, exactly. That's what I mean. Meaning he's missing. That's an area they can exploit. I think the Crew could. If you're going to have a chance to pick up a win on the road, this is it. This is where you've got to turn the corner and your attitude changes about how you play on the road and how you play when you go and visit these teams. Because, you know, as I said earlier in the show, it doesn't matter if you win every single game at home. If you can't win on the road, you're only a 500 team.
That's true. Before we go on to your prediction, Alex, we do have Molly Thomas, my girlfriend here, who's planning on going down to Orlando. Molly, I only have one question for you. What is your plan for winning the stands on Saturday?
Well, it's going to be really hot, so we're going to drink a lot, and we're going to eat a lot of food. And we're going to be louder than the Orlando fans.
It's not looking great, Matt.
Yeah, it's not looking great at all.
I'm sorry.
All
right,
It's worth pointing out that she's wearing an Orlando purple t-shirt, too.
But it says it's, I'm a hugger.
I know
yeah,
it says,
says
it doesn't
I'm a hugger.
What it,
yeah,
what it says.
Yeah, it's that's true. That's true.
It's
all
a
right.
wrestling shirt, Greg.
I know it's a wrestling shirt.
It's
all right. Go back to watching Houston lose this basketball game.
Hey, now.
And, Alex, your thoughts.
Are we doing score predictions?
No, your thoughts on the match.
I already did that, but I can do it
again.
Okay. I think it's going to be really tough for the
Shut
crew,
up, Alex. Morgan, your thoughts.
Thanks,
best,
Matt. That
best
was just
DP
awful.
In the world, Ricardo Kaká. But I think we'll be okay.
Oh, he does
we'll
have
okay.
a first name. I never knew that.
Yes, Ricardo. Mm. Or Ricky. Ricky, as I call him.
It means Dick Kaká.
I always thought it was Purple Saurus.
Ricky Kakado.
No, it's not that. You were misinformed.
Sorry.
You got to stop reading Wikipedia, man. People
mess true story.
That.
Morgan, your thoughts.
You know, I know that the guys have said before, and we kind of have applauded them for this, that, you know, we're going to take each match like it's a normal match, you know, because we're professionals, and that's great. But, you know, at some point in a season, regardless of what happens, whether you're winning or losing, there are statement games. There are not must wins, but must show up. And I hope that they are, you know, looking to make a statement at this game, like, not only can you know, A, can we win on the road, but B, we can come back from scenarios that we didn't want to find ourselves. So I want to say it's going to be a tie, but I really hope that they come out firing on all cylinders and take it to them early, because we know what happens on the road when we get down a goal. It's not pretty. I think they might need some magic, and I don't know if I've actually ever told this story on the show, but we were in Philadelphia last year, nor on tour. And
I don't think I've heard this story, Morgan.
No,
could you tell me the story, please?
Tell me.
That's weird. It's such a great story. My mic is off.
All right, we're going to score predictions.
Finally happened.
We're going to score predictions. Tony, you already said yours, so you're skipped. Greg.
What about the Valencia match?
Nobody cares. Greg, go ahead.
2-0 Crew.
All right, Alex.
3-1 Crew.
All right, Morgan.
Columbus Cruisers FC football squad. 2 soccer kickers. Goal. Orlando Kakas. Birdmen. 1 soccer kicking goal. Matt, back to you.
Sam.
2-0.
2-0 Crew. All right, Sam says 2-0. I'm going to say, is it possible to have a 2-1 scoreline?
Yes, it sure is.
All right, 2-1 to the Crew. And we're going to say that. That's been the show, folks. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for putting up with all of our crap. For Tony Galifo, who just apparently commandeered a microphone at the end of this show. Yeah. I know. Sam Fahmy, who hits the button, does the things. It's pretty awesome that he does that. For Morgan Hughes, Alex Stanek, Greg Benson, Justin Bell, who ran away, and we appreciate him. My name is Matt Goshert. This has been an episode of The Massive Report. Patriotism is supporting your country all the time, and your government when it deserves it.